Happy New Year for anybody I haven't said that to so far, and I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting, and hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for the discussion of the in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for the second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest in which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on the item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council and consider of any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that any personal responsibility for the comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on any item either in the chamber or by Teams, use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring the members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant message to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. And please refrain from making any other comments using instant message. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate by chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. So we'll begin now with declarations of interest. Anybody asking to declare?
None, Chair.
Action sheets for Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee.
Chair, can I just advise members that the action sheet has now been uploaded on to MinutePad, so we may have to go out and then come back into MinutePad again to be able to access it. So we'll give a couple of minutes for everyone to do that, and then we can proceed with the okay. agenda item.
Okay, all right. Oh, sorry, on the apologies, there's an apology for John Traynor. Any other apologies? If there's no other apologies from the Zoom setup or the team setup. No, just John Traynor.
Okay.
Okay, page one. Is there any more than two pages there? Page two. And page three. Everybody happy with that? Or anybody having to say to that? If not, then we need a proposer for it.
Proposed, sure.
It's proposed by Councillor Corn.
And surely seconded by myself.
Seconded by Councillor Andrews. Okay, that brings us on then to the first notice of motion. Councillor McGuinness, are you online?
I am indeed, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor McGuinness, you
read out your proposal. Yeah, read the motion now, and I'll just say that Councillor Roisin Howell is seconding this motion. So the motion reads, this council recognises the significant investment in rural communities and businesses and the wider economy derived from the single farm payment under the EU Common Agricultural Policy, agrees that capped single farm payments were critical to farm profitability, particularly for small family farms, is concerned with the significant uncertainty facing our farming community with the loss of capped single farm payments as a result of Brexit and the end of the replacement basic payment scheme worth £300 million a year beyond 2025, and calls on the British Government and the Permanent Secretary of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs to set out urgently what replacement funds will be put in place to support our farmers and the wider agricultural sector. We'll just make a few points in that, Chair, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the loss of direct payments will be felt by over 25,000 farm businesses, with over 40,000 farmers and workers being affected. Financial support from direct payments represents over 80% of farm income a year. Many farms in the north are in less favoured areas, such as Armagh and the Mourne's, West Tyrone, North Antrim, Mid Ulster and Fermanagh, South Tyrone. These areas will be directly impacted on these direct payments. Data shows the total amount of single farm payments a year for my constituency of Newry and Armagh is 26.5 million, with South Down on 27.5 million. Direct payments have assisted farmers to produce safe, nutritious, healthy and affordable food, look after the countryside and environment, and animal health and welfare. Farmers' income remains below the average and direct payments are vital to their survival and existence. We are concerned about the negative impact this will have on the health and well-being of our farming community. They deserve so much better. My party wants a fair standard of living for our farmers. A paper recently produced by Queen's University highlighted that without direct financial support, approximately 30% of farms are likely to cease functioning, leading to unemployment, land abandonment, and knock-on effects within the agri-food sector and rural communities in particular. Farmers need clarity and certainty around these payments going forward. As we all know, agriculture is a key pillar of our economy. The British Government must commit to certainty of farm payment well into the future beyond 2024. Every year, approximately £300 million worth of payments comes into the north to our farmers and agriculture sector. This is vital to the development of our economy and the sustainability of our rural communities. The European Union placed a priority in farming and protected it for decades through the Common Agricultural Policy. This Common Agricultural Policy, Pillars 1 and 2, has been an important policy to farmers and farming and rural communities. Since Brexit, farm payments come from Treasury. The Tory Manifesto have committed to make payments until the end of their mandate, however long that lasts. What happens next is anyone's guess. The Key Rural Issues report from DARA in 2021 highlights that agriculture businesses is dominant in rural areas more than an hour from Belfast. Almost half of all businesses in these rural areas are engaged in agriculture, forestry and fishing, with a further 17% in construction. I would ask everyone on this committee to please support this motion going forward, that we write to call on the British Government and the Permanent Secretary of Agriculture to set out how they're going to proceed after 2024 with the common agricultural payments. Thank you.
Okay, have you got a seconder for that?
A seconder from Councillor Roisin Howe.
Yeah, I'm happy to second, Robert.
Okay, thanks for that, Roisin. Now, I'm in with the first comment here, and I would like to support this, but I have a wee problem with one word. And I would like you to make a small amendment there and take out the SM and the small family farm and make it all family farms. I find it very difficult to as a union rep, I would find it very, very difficult to do that and not have all farmers included there, all family farms included there.
That's 100%, Councillor Burgess. I'm happy.
I would appreciate that. For agriculture is one of Northern Ireland's most important industries. As a whole, the agriculture industry turns more than $4.5 billion every year in support. One in eight jobs in the UK, making it the cornerstone of Northern Ireland's economy. And the farmers play a key role in this. And farmers do need much needed certainty in relation to direct payments, which you have already said in your motion, which are crucial for many farm businesses and help to ensure the production of the affordability of high-quality food the consumer demands. And it is essential that Northern Ireland share the UK funding maintained, and that we have the ability to regionalise, and that's a very important part here, regionalise the agriculture policy, because farming in Northern Ireland is a very different to farming in the south of England, where regionalisation, that's just what we're needing here. And we ensure that the delivering of the funding's best suited to different needs and structures of our industry here. So really, I'm in support of that notice of motion tonight, provided to take out and add in all farms. And we do need the creation and support of a mechanism that allows Northern Ireland farmers to be able to produce food on a level playing field and continue to be the guardian of the environment. So we need an environmental one as well. So, yes, I would support that if you have made that slight amendment. Are you happy to make that slight amendment?
Yes, Councillor Burgess, I'm happy to make that amendment, yep.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, Councillor Reddy also wants to make a comment.
Thanks very much, Chairman, for that amendment. I'm actually surprised that UNA, coming from Sinn Féin, the biggest party in Northern Ireland, wouldn't be fully briefed on what's actually happening with the agriculture sector in Northern Ireland. And last year, the Minister Edmund Putz, and I have to say, talked to farmers from across the religious political spectrum in Northern Ireland, and they'll all tell you that they appreciate the work that Edmund Putz has done. A farmer himself, coming from a farming background, he's been very, very proactive in trying to get the best deal possible for farmers. And last year, he actually put out the consultation and made a request for ideas on how the farming industry could go forward from now to 2027. And the plan that was developed by DERA under the management of Edmund Putz has now been hailed as the best agricultural policy in the UK, and far better than what's happening in the Republic. The Republic had to go out to consultation, but their plan has to be approved by the European Union. Now, I think there are 6 countries in the EU who have had their plans approved to date, but it's anything but good for farming, and it seems to be heading towards big industrialised production to compete with the United States rather than what we're doing in Northern Ireland. And I'm sure UNA's aware that the 4 countries that make up the UK, agriculture is a devolved issue. And as I said, the plan that Edmund Putz has developed is absolutely the best out of them all. There's no question or doubt about that. And it does focus on productivity, whereas the EU and even the English Department of Agriculture, they seem to have everything on the environmental and rewilding and all this type of stuff. Whereas in Northern Ireland, it's about productivity, it's about sustainability, and a maximum farm payment of 60 grand, and the focus being on smaller farmers. And that's exactly what we want. And I, going by the thrust of UNA's notice of motion, that seems to be what she wants. So I think you're being unduly pessimistic, UNA, and you should perhaps take a look at what Putz has developed. And as I say, farmers from across the political spectrum in Northern Ireland all say that Putz has done a good job. There was actually 400 replies to that consultation. All the big farming organisations replied, and then a lot of individual farmers, conservation groups, and different interest groups. And so it was a very extensive consultation, and what has come out of it is very, very good for Northern Ireland agriculture. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, Henry. Art McKee, you wish to make a comment?
Yeah, Chair, thanks. I'm non-member, so if no one has ahead of me, that's okay. Just in relation to a single farm payment out of Europe, maybe Una did say that, but there is no guarantee beyond 20, well, for the term of this EU Parliament, that once it ends, the money is going to run dry anyway. And that has been talked about for a number of years. So I can't totally say it's Brexit has really destroyed the thing, because and what I hear, I'm also a member of the UFU and I work closely with farmers and what have you, and at the end of the day, it was the farmers who, 53% of farmers voted for Brexit, so they should understand too. And I mean, we'll all work, everybody should be working towards farming, as I always said before, that all the good things that has farming and the amount of money it turns over and the jobs and employment. And there's ever an ongoing thing going on all the time with farming, even to benefit the environment. And we know what has happened in the climate change bill, and they're all working towards that as well. But I would say that, you know, if we look too at for what politicians is worth, it appears to be the Ulster Farmers Union. It was those themselves who fought the hardest to get the medical supplies still coming on to 2025. So they're actually working hard. So in the bigger picture, I think we need to realise that yes, there will be money coming from England, because when the EU dries up, we just have to lobby and make sure that, yes, there is a lot of money. And as Sherman said, I'm not money for everyone, because there's so many things going on. And I know Mr. Pitts has done good things, and I know there's actually this soil analysis taking place now over a four-year period, and was over 97% of farmers is logged into that and want that done, and it's for all again for their own benefit. So, sure, I would just partially agree with what the notice of motion said, but I would really state that the UK will also back up the money and have to keep this going. And it's important that each and every one of us will lobby for continuation of money going to two. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to say there, Harold, that it's regionalisation, that we really need Northern Ireland to be out in its own, not just through into the rest of the UK. But anyhow, Una has brought this notice of motion, and I need the proposer in a second, so we go ahead and accept it. It's proposed by...
to the vote, I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of the SLP to support the motion that Una has brought forward for this meeting. And I think it's very important that the issues that have been highlighted in the motion needs to be addressed, and I'm sure all parts of the agri sector will be working to get this all resolved as soon as possible. So only too happy to support the motion. Thank you, Chair.
You're making that a proposal?
I'm happy enough to say I'm supporting the motion that has already
been
tabled.
Sorry, hold on. Roisin, you made the proposal there. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm happy to propose it, but support the recommendations as outlined in the paper.
Right, with that small amendment?
Yes, with your small amendment. Yes, Robert, no problem.
And who seconds it? Have we got a seconder?
I'll second it, so
and a second, right. I'll put it to the floor. Sorry, Glenn has come up now with a comment after the proposal and seconded. Glenn, do you short comment?
I will be abstaining on this.
Okay, sir, right. We're here to go to a vote then. Right.
Happy to go with the motion as amended. Thank you.
I support the motion as amended.
Councillor Enright.
Which way do I vote if I want to support Una McGuinness?
Jump. It was amended, don't I?
As amended by the chairperson.
Councillor Enright.
Four.
Councillor Hannah.
Abstaining.
Councillor Hart.
Four.
Councillor Hyle.
Four.
Councillor Larkin.
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Oh, hello, hello. David,
hello.
Sorry,
yes.
Can I have the issue? Sorry, say again.
It's a recorded.
Well, it's a recorded vote. Are you for the motion or against it? The amended one. Where is he now?
I'm going to come back.
Four.
Good lad.
Councillor Mulgrew, Councillor Mulgrew's not here. Councillor Riley.
I'll abstain. I'm not against it, but I think it's pointless, so I'll just abstain.
Councillor Ruan.
Four.
Councillor Stokes absent. Councillor Trainer absent.
Councillor Stokes is there.
Councillor Stokes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Councillor Stokes.
Sorry, I got caught on a call earlier on. I was a couple of minutes late joining the meeting.
Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Kearns.
Absent.
Ten, four. Against, zero. Abstentions, two.
Okay. Right. Do you wish to come back to sum up?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, just thanks to everybody who supported the motion. For Councillor Riley to say pointless motion says a lot for his regard for our farmers. He just needs some clarity and certainty on this issue. So thanks to everyone who has supported it, and thanks to the committee. Thank you.
Okay. Then we'll move on to the next item, which is number five. And Councillor Corn, you have a notice of motion brought before us.
Dermot,
hold on,
microphone.
Thank you, Chair. This council noting the valuable contribution made to excuse our local and national economy at the ports of Ardglass and Kilkeel, expressing its concerns that the impact of Brexit still continues to have on the the fishing and fishing process industry across Newry, Mourne and Down, and affirming its support for the fishing and fishing process industry, and expressing its concern for the absence of the functioning assembly and executive to promote and support the fishing industry and fishing processing industry, that this council will write to United Kingdom Home Office to highlight the valuable contribution made by our local fishing and fishing process industry, calls for the recognition of the fish processing industry in Northern Ireland as seasonal, and further calls for the Home Office to recognise the exemption of the EEA and non-EEA staff employed in the fishing and fish process industry in Northern Ireland to enable the industry to employ foreign workers during the summer months, and continues its valuable contribution to the local economy. Mr. Chairman, I noticed that there's a lot of information on the key issues, but what I've got to say is just a few words in relation to the fishing industry, because I come from Ardglass and I know about the fishing industry and what it does here in Kilkeel and Ardglass. But what I'm saying at present, the industry needs to employ foreign workers to keep it going. Locals don't want to work for some unknown reason in the fishing industry, so the employment of foreign workers is very important. One employer told me if we had not foreign workers, he would have to close down after many years of working in the fishing industry. At present, the workers from the EEA, European Economic Area, and the non-economic area are not allowed to work outside the UK and have to apply for a special licence
the government, to the government for this, and to work in industry outside the UK. So what we're saying here in the motion is that we're asking government to grant these licences so that we can have a successful fishing industry here in Northern Ireland. Thank you.
Okay, Carter Kearney, you've got a seconder?
Yes, there's a seconder.
Councillor Anders.
Thank you very much. And I too am delighted to second the motion and support the sentiments that has been expressed by my good friend and colleague, Councillor Dermot Kern, as you all know, for many years has been a champion and a keen supporter for the fishing industry and has worked with others, you know, across the board in relation to improving and enhancing the fishing industry. And I do support any measures and efforts to take on and face the many challenges that the sector faces in workforce supply, you know, especially for the fishing and processing sector. And, you know, these concerns we did raise them previously at the Northern Ireland Strategic Migratory Partnership Board. If memory stands me right, you know, there's no problem having workers in for the orchards and the other agri sector, but whenever it comes to such an important sector in the fishing process and industry, etc., you know, it's very hard to get workers in. But again, overall, I do support the motion in principle, and I do look forward to a speedy resolution to the highlights that have been highlighted and which are so important to the fishing sector, and especially the background that has been summarised into one of the papers. So I'm only too happy that to second and support Councillor Curran's motion, which I think is a worthwhile one and an important one as well. Thank you.
Okay, for that. Thanks for that. Two people wish to make a comment. Councillor Hanna.
Thanks, Chair. Can you hear me okay there? Yeah, I don't talk loudly. Just Chair, on the motion there, we're happy enough to support the direction of the motion, so we're, and to be quite honest with you, my family has been in the fishing industry since now for nearly 7-8 generations, maybe possibly longer. And the fishing itself has played an enormous part. And just, I was reminded there last Friday night there down in Newcastle at the unveiling of a memorial there where in 1843 there were 73 fishermen lost there. In 1814 there was another 37 lost then. And throughout the years up to 1894 there was quite a substantial loss. And even in the early part of the 20th century there, there's been a substantial loss. So there's a lot of men has lost their lives at sea there for the benefit of us all there to have fish in our diets and all that goes along with. And just to, on the fish processing itself, just in the Kilkeel and Port of Ogie area, I'm sure there's the guts of 1,000 people employed in just the processing end of it. And as Dermot talks about bringing people into the fishing industry itself. I know in Kilkeel there's still a substantial number of boats, and most they're all skippered by local men. It is difficult to find people to crew those boats, and there's a lot of Filipinos, so there is, and other African nationalities are in there, and it is difficult there to get them into the country, so it is, in that they can only really stay for 6 months at a time, and then they have to go home for 3 months, and then reapply to come back. So the fishing industry does need the deckhands there to do all that type of work. But in saying all that there, the biggest problem the fishing industry has is possibly Brexit, in the sense that Brexit hasn't delivered what the fishermen all voted for. The fishermen voted for independence and taking back control of their waters away from the EU. And to be quite honest with you, it hasn't. They've been badly let down, so they have been what is in place at the moment. So hopefully whenever, if this protocol is sorted out properly and the fishing and all that goes along with it are dealt with properly, so that the fishing industry can return to what it was and be an attractive place to work. And just from one thing Dermot says, there still is quite a number up in Kilkeel that's still at the fishing industry. All the fish processing plants are pretty much manned by local people, so there are. So, and there's quite good wages. And although it's probably cold at this time of year, and among all that water. But Dermot, in general, I'm happy to support your motion and the gist of it. It's a pity you put in that there, the absence of the function in the assembly and that there. The protocol has caused that problem, so it has. And until the protocol is sorted out, we're going to have an issue with it. So happy to support you, Dermot.
Okay, thanks for that, Lynn.
Thank you very much, Henry.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yes, and again, I favour a lot of what is in the notice of motion, but just one thing I noticed there in relation to a word, processing industry in Northern Ireland as seasonal. Now, from what I gather from the fishing industry and the importance of foreign crew, that I just heard it very, very recently from a fisherman, that it's not actually seasonal because it's, I don't know what word you put in there, as it's more permanent than seasonal because they're pretty much there 24/7. And if they hadn't got those fishermen, the boats wouldn't go out. But one of the greatest problems is happening, just, it's going to happen. I understand it possibly April of next year, that if something is not done, that those foreign guys who fish out of Dermot's area and out of Kilkeel, after April, they won't be allowed on the deck of a boat. They only will be allowed provided they're outside 12-mile fishing zone. So how do you get outside the 12-mile? Because if you travel inwards from 12-mile into the harbours, that means they're not working. So therefore, in the eyes of EU or whoever, saying they can't be on a boat. So it's actually critical that these foreign fishermen are granted some sort of permanency, that they can continue to fish. And within, even in that 12-mile zone, as long as they're given at least a corridor or a passage that they can get from the harbour to outside 12-mile, and maybe even in between that, that's okay. But that is going to be a critical thing, and we all know that if it wasn't for foreign fishermen, a lot of our boats would not be going outside the pierhead. I'm sure Dermot understands that in his end as well. But after April of next year, it is going to be far worse if something not done. So I would more or less ask, if I can do that, I'm a non-member, but that word seasonal, if it could be changed to perhaps permanent or whatever word you put in there, to sit that for all the year round fishermen. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Howard. Ollie Clark.
Thanks, Chair. And, very brief, Chair. Just to say that Sinn Féin was supporting the motion. And thank Dermot for bringing the motion forward. Now, there is a number of pressing issues in the fishing industry, and I suppose labour is one of the big ones. And we hear about the protocol or whatever. You know, when you go back to reality, it's Brexit. It's having a big impact in regards to getting foreign workers for whatever, and people were talking about orchards and seasonal crops. There's been very little benefits from Brexit, and any economist will tell you. It'll be a long time to see any benefits coming from it. But we listened over the years to people saying how everything would be rosy after Brexit, and the fishing industry would do their own thing. Obviously, that's not the case. In regards to the industry itself, obviously, it's very supportive of local businesses in the area. So it's essential that any support is made available moving forward. Again, the lack of young people coming into the industry is alarming, and it's something that DARA needs to take on board. But happy to support the motion.
Okay, Councillor Clark. Right, I don't see anybody else wish to speak. Dermot, do you wish to respond to any of that? Or are you happy?
Put your microphone on, Dermot.
No, only to thank the people who did speak in relation to the motion, and they have already highlighted the issues that we need to address. And that's all, Chair.
Chairman. Okay, we need a proposer and a seconder.
Chairman.
So it's proposed Councillor Corn, second Councillor. Everybody Chairman. In favour of that?
Chairman, can you hear me? No.
Yes, no. I see you coming in now, yes.
Chairman. Yeah, Chairman, it was just a brief comment, if that's all right.
Chair, the point of order, the motion has already been decided. It's been it's spoken on by the proposers. The motion is gone, you know.
Chairman, I had my CM before the summit.
You didn't know.
I have my comment in before the summing up, Chairman. So as far as points of orders go, I'm perfectly within the right to speak on it.
Okay, Councillor Riley, I'll chair the meeting. Councillor Riley, a short comment.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, just on the Brexit issue, Sinn Féin saying about the protocol. The protocol has damaged or has hindered the fishing industry. But in terms of the long term, Brexit will actually help our fishermen immensely. And especially as the ratchet goes on the continentals and unfortunately our neighbours in the Republic, they will reduce their quotas while we will be increasing. So it is very important that we have the infrastructure in place to deal with that increase in total allowable catch that the UK fleet will get. And if we don't have that infrastructure in Kilkeel and Arglass, we'll not be able to take advantage of it. And I'm sure, Chairman, you know that Arglass and Kilkeel were hindered for years in terms of infrastructure development because the EU said that providing better harbours would lead to an increase in fishing effort. Now we're out of the EU, we need to get Arglass and Kilkeel harbours improved and fit for the future. Thank you, Chairman. But I'm supporting the motion, Chairman.
Okay, Councillor. Yes, we all need a lot of money spent on a lot of places. Okay, a proposer for that was for the officer's recommendation. It's the other road around here. Councillor Corn has a P and Councillor Andrews has an S. So he's happy enough to go that way. Is everyone in agreement for that? I think everybody was this time. Okay, thanks for that. Then we'll move on to item number 6, Future Business Support and Regional Working Group. Jonathan, I take it you're taking that?
Yes, Chair. The report details progress to date on the development of the new programmes that will replace the RDF-funded programmes, Chair. So that's there for information, and that we're going to a pre-market engagement in January to test the market around some of those ideas. Chair, also as part of the wind-up of the current programmes, Invest NF have made an offer of an additional, when match funds included, £50,000 to extend the programmes to March 2023, Chair, March of this year. So the recommendation is that we note the update on the report on the programmes and approve the letter of offer and allow us to extend the contracts to avail of the funding to March 2023.
Okay, Chair, I
see Councillor Andrew, you're a P on the C.
More or less, I'll be brief now. I'm only too happy to propose that we do accept the recommendations, and, you know, anything's a good news story, you know, whenever you're increasing the contract value, you know, hopefully we'll get a lot more done to updating to get the development of a regional approach. I think it's very important that we do have that approach, especially for attracting future businesses and industry into our district and post European regional development funding time. So happy to propose.
Okay.
Chair.
Proposed. And the second, Councillor Curran. And if there's no other comment, then we'll move on to item number 7. Newry Architectural Heritage Project. And Andrew, you're taking it.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the report sets out some details of a new project to showcase Newry's rich architectural heritage in partnership with UAHS. So we're seeking approval to go ahead in that project, Chair. Happy to take any questions.
Okay, I don't see any questions come up. I have a proposer. Councillor Stokes, do you?
Yeah, happy to propose, Chair. Looks very exciting.
Well done. Okay, and Valerie, you seem to be second that.
Happy to second, Chair.
Okay, everyone in agreement with that? Okay, if everyone is in agreement with that, then we're moving on to item number 8. And it is one of the closed sessions items from 8 to 14. So the following items will be taken in closed session. This is items number 8 to 14. And items were deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014, information in relation to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may be resolute to be excluded during these items of business. We need a proposer to get into the closed session. We've got a proposer from Glenn Hanna, and Roisin, you're happy enough to second that? You need to come in and say.
I'm happy enough to propose.
Yeah, Roisin.
Happy to second,
Happy to second, okay. Now, we'll just give a few minutes here to make sure the press. Update.
Yes, the press have all been invited back in. Some have come back in now.
Okay, Connor.
Good to go. Okay, thanks, Chair. During closed session, the following was agreed. On the proposal of item number 8, Annalong Revitalisation Art Project SLA. On the proposal of Councillor Hanna, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to approve a service level agreement with the Annalong Community Empowerment to implement an art project in Annalong Village as agreed in the Annalong Small Settlement Scheme Action Plan. Item number 9, James Shore Pathway, Department for Infrastructure, Letter of Offer. Following a vote of 11 for and 2 against with no abstentions, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Kern, seconded by Councillor Andrews, that Council accept DFI Letter of Offer for the Downpatrick James Shore Pathway Upgrade and note the previously completed and approved Council and DFI business cases. Item number 10, Kilbroney Forest Park Youth Camping Site. On the proposal of Councillor Ruan, seconded by Councillor Hart, it was agreed to approve recommendations to operate a campsite for registered youth groups under the same model currently in place at Castlewell and Forest Park, as detailed in this report. Item 11, Coquille Harbour Works. On the proposal of Councillor Hanna, seconded by Councillor Riley, it was agreed NMDDC, including budgets for the next 3 financial years, subject to agreed funding package being secured and a suitable mid-term review of progress against objectives and targets. Item number 12, SERC Excellence Awards. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to approve sponsorship to the South Eastern Regional College 2023 Excellence Awards as a headline sponsor and category sponsor for the Apprenticeship of the Year. Item 13, Warm Point Harbour Authority SLA. On the proposal of Councillor Ruan, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed to enter into a service level agreement with Warren Port Harbour Authority to showcase the district to inbound cruise ship passengers and to secure the visit of the Grace O'Malley tall ship in 2023. And item number 14, Kilbroney Park Cafe Licence Extension. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to note the content of the report dated the 16th of January 2023 from Mr. A. Patterson, Assistant Director, Tourism, Culture and Events, regarding Kilbroney Park Cafe Licence Extension.
Okay, thanks for that, Connor. That brings us on to item number 15. 15 to 21 is all for noting. So,
take a proposer and a seconder.
Proposed by Terry and seconded by Dermot. Everybody have it? Okay. Can I just thank you for attending the meeting tonight? It was a wee bit longer than normal, but at least we got it done in a little over an hour. So thanks very much for the help and the support in that. And can I just wish everyone that's here a safe journey home, and everybody at home, stick your feet up and make a cup of tea. All the best.
Well, Chair.